The word bedlam is used to describe a place or a situation of chaos or general craziness. It actually comes from an insane asylum in medieval England. It was more like a prison than a hospital, and the patients received little in the way of actual treatment for their mental disorders. Yet, for generations, bedlam was the model for institutions for the mentally ill throughout the British Empire. A psychiatrist named Charles Kirk Clark was largely responsible for revolutionizing the treatment of the mentally ill in Canada. Born in Elora in 1857, Charles was the son of prominent parliamentarian Charles Clark. He attended high school in Elora. Two of his sisters were married to psychiatrists, one of whom was the son of Joseph Workman, the superintendent of the provincial asylum for the insane in Toronto. Through that connection, Clark began work in 1874 as an assistant at the institution. Meanwhile, he studied medicine at the University of Toronto and graduated as an MD in 1879. The following year, he was appointed assistant medical superintendent at the Hamilton Asylum. He said the staff there were an uncontrollable rabble. In 1882, Clark joined his brother-in-law William Metcalf as a member of the staff at the Rockwood Asylum for the Criminally Insane in Kingston. At that time, the administrators of such institutions were usually political appointees, men with no qualifications for the job. Clark didn't have much regard for politics or politicians, though his father's zeal for social progress and reform showed in the son's desire for radical change in the treatment of the mentally ill. Dr. Clark would strongly denounce what he called the malign influence of politics over psychiatry. Clark and Metcalf both favored reforms in the care of the insane, but their efforts were hampered by institutional politics. Clark was about to resign out of frustration, when on August 13, 1885, the two doctors were attacked by a knife-wielding patient. Metcalf died from his injuries. Clark was offered the position of medical superintendent and decided to accept it, to protect several hundred defenseless creatures from a political hireling who might be pitchforked into the position. Clark was instrumental in making the institution more of a hospital and less like a prison. He supported the implementation of formal training for nurses and attendants. He succeeded in gaining patients greater freedom of the institution's grounds so they wouldn't spend most of their time confined. And he explored the development of occupational and therapeutic activities such as handcrafts and participation in an orchestra. He made an eloquent plea for the abandonment of the word asylum, which carried such a negative stigma. He said it was vital people realize that an insane person is one suffering from bodily disease just as much as the patient with typhoid fever. Clark was at the forefront of a rebellion against the traditional ways of treating mental illness, which generally were based on the belief that there was little anyone could do for mental patients except shelter them and look after their basic needs. Clark and other progressive doctors felt mental illness could be treated and even prevented. He was a pioneer of a budding science called mental hygiene, and laid the groundwork for the establishment of outpatient clinics for those who did not require actual hospitalization. Clark didn't agree with all of the new ideas that were being examined in the field of psychiatry, such as some aspects of Freudianism and what Clark thought was its preoccupation with sex. He even agreed, although only temporarily, with the theory behind the pseudoscience called eugenics. Clark was one of the radical proponents of the argument that some criminals were insane and not responsible for their actions. He was called upon as an expert witness at numerous trials. Clark was among those who said the Métis rebel leader Louis Riel was mentally ill and should not have been hanged, although he was not asked to appear at Riel's trial. Clark almost lost his life one day while he was standing on the Rockwood Institution's dock. A patient suddenly seized him and plunged them both into Lake Ontario. Clark struggled, but the patient was too strong. He was determined to drown himself and Clark with him. Fortunately, another man saw what was happening and came to the rescue. Clark did not blame his assailant, but said the man had acted on an irresistible homicidal impulse. In 1905, Clark became superintendent of the Toronto Asylum. He found he had an ally in W.J. Hanna, the provincial secretary whose portfolio included the administration of mental hospitals. Clark and Hannah decided that between them they could make Ontario the national leader in the care and treatment of the mentally ill. In 1907, Clark was a member of a committee that went to Europe to visit the major psychiatric clinics there. He was especially impressed with the clinic in Munich, Germany. Clark wanted to establish a similar hospital in Toronto. To his great disappointment, backroom political intrigues and the provincial government's refusal to provide funding killed the project. Clark wrote, "If such a hospital is to be established, it must be kept absolutely free from political control. Politicians will interfere where the chance opens itself, and the appointments to such an institution should be absolutely above suspicion. Scientific attainment alone should be the qualification." Over the years, Dr. Clark accumulated an impressive body of qualifications and accomplishments. Commissioner for an inquiry into the British Columbia Provincial Asylum for the Insane, first Canadian associate editor of the American Journal of Insanity, honorary doctor of law at Queen's University, dean of the Faculty of Medicine and professor of psychiatry at the University of Toronto, and superintendent of Toronto General Hospital. During the First World War, Clark established a groundbreaking clinic for the treatment of venereal diseases and organized a hospital unit that was sent overseas. He became a government consultant for the treatment of mentally ill war veterans. Clark died of heart failure in 1924. The Clark Institute of Psychiatry in Toronto was named in his honor. The doctor from Allura is regarded by many as the father of Canadian psychiatry.